What's up, everybody? We pulled a little bit of a switcheroo on you guys because Greg is sleeping. Greg's got that little bit of an illness, so I thought I would take over for him. You guys hear me okay? Good stuff. So you can give it a minute until everyone else shows up. Anybody else shows up? Today we're talking about brain supplements, brain nutrients. Good to see you guys. Bear, what's up with you, man? I haven't seen you in a while. I guess I've seen you a couple weeks ago. How you doing? How's things with yourself?
Yes, good. Yeah, doing well.
Good, man. You look like you're leaner. You feel good?
Yeah, feeling good.
Good. How's training?
It's going good. Getting kind of back into it. Took a little bit of a break. I got married a couple weeks ago. So,
congrats, man.
Yeah, life changed, but getting back in there and still trying to chase the goal. So,
and what's that exactly?
I guess from a metric standpoint, I'm trying to get it to be about 215 and a body fat of about between 8-9%.
Good for you. In a sustainable way or just to hit it?
I'd like to be there sustainable. I'll be doing with my new company. I'm just getting started on that. I got the logo finished and getting the structure in place, and I'd like to be able to look as sharp as I can on video, kind of stand out in my industry.
What's the company?
It's called Bear Impact. It's going to be a consulting SEO marketing agency.
In what industry?
So right now I'm looking at the SaaS industry. It will be one of the main companies I work with. A lot of them will be business owners between about probably 5 million to 100 million in size of actual revenue.
Any specific SaaS, or it's just customer acquisition for SaaS?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. And I guess the channel or I'll be looking at specifically is going to be SEO, their SEO presence, their overall traffic. Some traffic that I'll be going after is not going to be actually financially viable, won't give them a return. And so I'm looking at SEO a little different than most do in an actual ROI based on the SEO as opposed to just focusing on keyword rankings.
How much are you looking at AEO? Are you looking at AEO at all, like answer engine optimization?
No, I haven't.
Man, a good friend of mine is like an AEO guy, and he's sort of like positioning himself as the guy. He's the smartest marketer I've ever met. And so he bought like AEO.com or N.co or whatever, and he does like an AEO school. So do you know like the platform school, SKOOL?
Yeah.
So go on there and look up AEO. I forget the name of the community, but I'm in it. Usually you can see the members. And I think that's the future, man, because more people are searching through artificial intelligence than they are through Google. You know, obviously Google's got Gemini, but I think it's really interesting to like position yourself right now as the guy who can help people optimize on AEO as well as SEO. But he's the best guy in the world. Like he literally commits his entire life to helping people like us, business owners, understand how to position yourself as the number one. If someone searches performance coaching, how do I come up? You know. So he's an unbelievably smart guy.
But what's his name?
His name's Kasim, Kasim. Last name is Aslam, Aslam.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, he's the shit, man. He's genius.
Very cool.
Yeah, cool. So anyways, guys, it looks like nobody else is joining us. We got a couple more here, actually. So let's talk about brain nutrients. So for anybody who wants to understand how to think about this, you know, I could come on here and spit out a bunch of nutrients, but I think it's a really big mistake. I think it'd be really naive to think that anyone saying, hey, take this vitamin has any utility whatsoever. Why? Because how do you know it works for you? Sometimes we make these generalized thoughts and statements of like, everyone should be taking this and everyone should be taking this. And, you know, 10% of the time that's not inaccurate, because like I think everyone would benefit from creatine, because creatine is a foundational energy provider, right? It's also really important in the methylation cycle. But when we talk about like, well, how do I know what nutrients my brain actually needs? Here's the way I think of the brain. The brain has three levels of organization. You have your biology, you have your chemistry, and you have your physics. So your biology is the literal biological organism. So it's the tissues. So your tissues require, each individual cell. So that requires fats, it requires micronutrients, it requires energy. Are you getting the right fats? Are you getting the right micronutrients? You know, and we can talk about which ones those are. And is your brain able to produce energy, adequate energy? So that's biology. Then we go to chemistry. Now we're looking at things like neurotransmitters, right? We're looking at acetylcholine, dopamine. We're looking at maybe things like pH in the brain. So the chemistry sort of stacks on top of biology. And many people look at it through one lens, but not often both. And the final one is physics, which is literally like the bioenergetics of your brain. So that's like the vibrational signature, literal vibration of the brain. Does the brain have enough electrical charge? Does it have an electrical gradient within the cell? So we look at all three levels of how do I optimize like a brain stack? First, as I said, if I'm looking at the biology, what is the composition of your brain from a fat perspective? So are you getting too many saturated fats? Are you getting too many omega-3s, too many omega-6s, too many omega-9s? Or do you have a nice ratio of those? And if your ratios are off, you can cause increased oxidative stress, increased cell damage, increased reactive oxygen species. So you want to make sure that if you really want to optimize, you test, but if not, you make sure you're getting not too much omega-6s, which is very common in the standard American diet, not even too much saturates. Like you need 10% from saturates, 10%, maybe 15% from omega-6s. And then omega-3 and omega-9 make up the rest. So as far as total fat compositions. What else we need as far as micronutrients at the biological level, the brain requires B vitamins, essentially B vitamins. We need magnesium is essential. You need a bunch of other stuff. Like you probably need some zinc in there. You probably need some CoQ10 in there just to optimize the cell function. So like I would add all of these things to an optimized brain function. So if I'm looking to improve your brain function as an athlete, as a man, or as a lady, because I see Carrie's on here too. She was. Then I need to make sure that I'm optimizing the biology first, because so many people are putting up like, hey, you need to take this nootropic, you need to take Nupept, or you need to take cerebrolysin, which are very high demand. They're putting a high amount of demand on your brain, and your brain doesn't have the foundational nutrients to support it. So always consider, is my diet adequate and replete enough in micronutrients? And do I have enough of the foundational nutrients my brain needs to just exist at an optimized biological level? Then we'll go on top of that. We'll go, well, then we're going to start looking at chemistry. Well, chemistry involves acetylcholine, it involves dopamine, it involves glutamate, it involves serotonin, it involves other, oxytocin, other neurotransmitters as well. And so you say, well, what things do I do well and which things do I do poorly? So what you do personality-wise, what you do motivation-wise, what you do and like lifestyle-wise determines, or at least leaves sort of indicators as to what your brain does well and doesn't do well. So as an example, if you're highly motivated, racing mind, can't slow down, you can assume you've got a lot of adrenaline, you've got a lot of dopamine. If you're someone who's anxious and maybe avoidant, you may have too much dopamine, too much adrenaline. If you're someone who's really chilled out, really calm, maybe you've got a lot of serotonin, a lot of GABA. So we have these like neurotransmitter dominance types, which is both genetic and environmental. So you may be dopamine dominant, you may be adrenaline dominant, you may be acetylcholine dominant, which maybe means you're very cerebral and very calm. You may be GABA dominant, which tends to be someone who's like almost too laid back. So like identifying your neurotransmitter dominance and then supporting the ones that you're trying to do situationally. So if you're like, hey, I'm not motivated, great. How do we improve motivation? Dopamine, acetylcholine, maybe a little bit of adrenaline. Coffee's your primary adrenaline agonist, or one of them certainly. So then if you're lacking motivation, we can supplement that with the right chemistry, right? If you're someone who's maybe overstimulated and over anxious and over motivated and you can't calm down, well then we need to support the opposite end of that. So we need to support GABA, which is sort of your primary inhibitory neurotransmitter. We can slow down the brain. How do we support GABA, right? And I'll come back to you and tell you guys exactly how to do these in a minute. And the one that's sort of maybe most important brain nutrient, it's hard to say that, but maybe the most prominent brain nutrient is acetylcholine. Acetylcholine from a dietary perspective is primarily found in egg yolks and liver. From a supplement perspective, the best one is alpha GPC. And this is sort of the best way to think of this is almost like the oil in your brain. It's like if you need an oil change, your car doesn't run well, it gets sort of sludgy, or if you don't have enough oil, the car slows down. So acetylcholine is an extremely important neurotransmitter. Arguably one of the most important, if not the most important. Again, hard to say that, but we want to make sure we're getting enough acetylcholine. You can get that just those, and you got a supplement. I take alpha GPC every day to make sure my brain is working really well, especially when you're pushing your brain or body really hard. So if you're doing things that require lots of studying, lots of learning, lots of memory, lots of speaking, that's pushing your brain harder. If you're taking your nootropics or things that you know are going to push your brain harder, you must be taking alpha GPC to sort of make sure you're changing the oil or replenishing the oil. It's like you're sort of redlining the brain. You have to make sure you're giving it its foundational nutrients it needs. So yeah, and coming back to like, what would we do for someone who has maybe a dopamine deficiency? Well, first thing where we want to do is we want to understand where your dopamine comes from, because a lot of us are getting dopamine from things like social media, alcohol, drugs, pornography, things that are not constructive. And if you're getting dopamine from there, you're always going to feel like you're in a dopamine deficit. So it's going to be very hard to get motivated. So the first thing you do if you're lacking motivation to go to the gym, you're lacking motivation to pursue life's goals, is you take away the things that are giving you dopamine artificially, right? So there's no drugs, there's no alcohol, there's no pornography, there's no social media, anything that's sort of sugar, things that are giving you instant gratification, take them out. And if you take those out, all of a sudden that primary drive for you becomes training. And so that training is your primary way of getting dopamine. So the reason people don't do that is because it takes a long. You guys lose my connection? I got an unstable connection. Okay, so good. I get noticed at an unstable connection. It would be these little drug addicts for dopamine, right? And dopamine, however you get it, is still like the equivalent of taking cocaine as a drug. Obviously not to the same level, but it's still very, very, very similar. So if you remove someone's social media, you take away their phone, you take away, alcohol, you take away whatever it is, pornography, then all of a sudden they're like little drug addicts and they crave it, they need it. So if you're someone who finds yourself in these places, my suggestion is you do at least 14 days, maybe even as much as 30 days of a complete dopamine detox. You'll find your motivation changes, your ability to stay on task changes, your ability to stay on diet completely changes. Your brain stops looking outside of yourself for dopamine and stuff, like, because you have these little dopamine traps. Like, oh, there's a little dopamine there, there's a little dopamine there. You don't even realize you're doing it. You find yourself scrolling mindlessly like a little drug addict, trying to like get your little fix in. And that's a really big problem. And I think it's one of the biggest problems in our society, especially for anyone who has kids. You guys have kids, like your kids are little next phone, take it away and see what happens. And so you have to train their minds to realize. So it's an interesting game to play for young people. I see Rudolph on here as a young man. So yeah, that's maybe a useful thing to think about. If you're someone who's over anxious, overstimulated, things to what you want to slow your brain down, I would start looking at literal GABA derivatives. You can actually take GABA. It's not very well absorbed. The best form of GABA is phenibut, with a pH, phenibut. But it's very difficult to get, and you can get it, but it's very difficult to get. But it's an amazing, amazing sleep aid, an amazing anti-anxiety. You can also get valerian root, which is a GABA precursor. I also like L-theanine, which doesn't necessarily work on GABA, but it tends to work on just, I think it works on GABA a little bit, but I think it works more on serotonin to sort of calm down the mind. Serotonin feels like the way that people describe serotonin is like the way it feels to be socially connected to people. It's like a neurotransmitter of connection. So by taking something that brings up serotonin, it makes you feel almost like a sense of connectedness, a sense of peace. So serotonin is extremely important as well. Serotonin tends to increase, or at least we believe it increases when you eat carbohydrate. It makes you feel like a sense of relax, a sense of calm. It can slow things down. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening when you eat carbohydrate. And so the really big one, if you're anxious, is adrenaline. So if you're anxious, afraid, frustrated, angry, the primary driver of that is not testosterone, it's generally adrenaline. So if you have too much adrenaline, it tends to cause a brain that can perpetually be in these loops of anxiety, fear, frustration, anger, and overwhelm. So we have to learn to slow down the adrenaline. The way we do that is through breath work, meditation. I'll tell you in a sec, Bear. Breath work, meditation, nature, connection to other humans, and carbohydrates can do it as well to bring it down. Phenibut, Bear. The pH. It's not illegal, but it's not like readily available anymore. But it's like it kicks the pants off of any like medical sleep aids. That's why they took it off the market. It's not addictive, but it is attenuating, which means if I take it consistently, I need to increase the dose. I had a bottle that I bought in 2017, and I finished it last year. So it took me 8 years to maybe be earlier this year. It took me 7 or 8 years, and that's like 100 capsules or something. So I'll take like two or three capsules once a month, or like very infrequently if I'm traveling overseas, or if I'm up super late or something, I need to have a good night's rest. So I keep it around as like a good sleep aid, but I don't use it frequently. And I don't think it's bad for you. There's never been any like toxicity challenges or anything like that. But what I don't ever want to do with sleep is I don't ever want to become dependent on something. That's sort of my life rule, by the way. Is like if I feel like I need something, I get rid of it. If I ever needed a belt in training, if I ever needed music in training, or I couldn't train, or I need a pre-workout, no, I get rid of it. If I need coffee to get going, nope, get them out. Like I don't like the idea of being dependent on something. Not sure why that is. I think it's a useful habit. Like if I feel like I need social media, gone. Like just the way my brain works. So I'm sort of going all over the place here before we get into like the super stuff with brain stuff. So like optimize your biology, optimize your chemistry. And so chemistry, there's levels to that, right? So we can now look at things like nootropics, which are unbelievable for brain function. So the typical ones you're going to hear when you hear nootropics are things like NuPEPT is a remarkable, a bit of a nootropic. Bacopa Monnieri is a nootropic, sort of calming, but also nootropic. So all these things like taken as tools are amazing. I'll take NuPEPT once a month, maybe twice a month. I'll even take something like modafinil once or twice a month. Modafinil is a pharmaceutical strength. It's not actually considered nootropic. It's actually considered a wakefulness aid. So if you've ever not slept well, modafinil wipes out the sleepiness feeling. It's something you would have used in like the military if you got to stay up overnight, you take modafinil, keeps you up. So it's not like an Adderall, but it's more like a wakefulness aid. Again, I'm not going to get into mechanisms of this stuff, but if you guys want to understand like what the best things to do are, my suggestion is don't take anything too frequently. Get yourself four or five different nootropics and rotate through them. So like aniracetam, oxaracetam are freaking amazing, but don't take them all the time. NuPEPT is unbelievable, but don't take it all the time, because I believe there is side effects to these things. There is negative effects. We may not know what it is yet. But if you're taking something once every 2 weeks, or once every 3 weeks, or once a month, like minimal negative effect. So I keep them on hand. And so here's my experience. I've been taking these things since 2016, so coming up on 10 years. And I think my brain gets better every month instead of worse. So how do I do that? I push my brain hard with learning. I'm always generally taking something to support the biology and chemistry. And then I'll use these super peptides, super not. Excuse me, super nootropics twice a week, different ones. I'm sort of rotating through. And like when I need to be like on fire with my brain, like I gotta write a, I don't know, 1,000 words for a book today, or I'm writing a course, then I'll take one of these super nootropics that can light you up. Now, there's another level that stacks above this. It's peptides. And there's four known peptides, at least that I know. There's probably more than that. Probably something that I'm missing, but there's four that are considered remarkable. Five. So I'll sort of start from the bottom and work my way up as far as like I know, as far as utility. So the pineal is a very useful brain nootropic. It also helps with sleep, helps rebuild the pineal gland, helps with sleep. Super useful. I would do your research. I'm not going to give you recommended dosage and stuff like that. Moving up the ladder, we have C-Lank. And C-Max. C-Max is a sort of like a stimulant that can help rebuild your brain. C-Lank is a calming peptide that can help rebuild your brain also, but taken before bed. Those two together are extremely useful, usually nasal sprays. Useful. To be honest, I haven't used them in probably 5 to 7 years. I don't like putting things up my nose. So just don't take them. They're useful, but it's not for me. Now, the two that I think are maybe the most remarkable, like mind-blowing, are cereblolysin, which is can also be a nasal thing, or you can also do injectable. I think you can do even do it orally. Cereblolysin is a peptide that is unbelievable. You guys still got me? I'm getting a notice. I have a slow connection. Still got me? Give me a thumbs up. Okay. So cereblolysin is basically sounds weird, but it's derived from pig brains and helps to regrow your brain. So it's like basically like BDNF, right? Which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, helps to increase BDNF and brain growth and grow new neurons in the brain, but also is remarkable for focus. And then even above that, maybe is Dihexa. Dihexa is again another super powerful brain supplement. Now, I'll say this, I wouldn't share these with you guys if I didn't think they were mostly safe. I wouldn't talk about them if I thought they were dangerous. Do I know they're completely safe? No. Am I a medical doctor and need a recommendation to take it? No. But like my experience with these things so far has been generally positive. I haven't had any negative effects from anyone I've worked with or anyone that's used them. But it's sort of like play at your own risk, you know? So my suggestion is like I'll list these, I'll sort of narrow your field of focus. Like don't go outside of these things. Anything outside of this, I'm like, eh, not so useful. But staying within the confines of these molecules is where you should focus your attention and study and like go learn a little bit about it. Throw into ChatGPT, throw into Grok, go in Peptide Sciences, read about them. And I think you can have some benefit. Now, here's another few hacks to realize. The game you're playing to, if you want to build your brain, is you have to minimize adrenaline. If your brain is constantly bathing in cortisol and adrenaline, you're not ever going to learn more effectively. You're not ever going to be out of fight or flight. So you have to learn to minimize your adrenaline. How do you minimize adrenaline? Effective training in the morning, cardiovascular fitness, improve blood flow. So like making sure your adrenaline is not excessive, you're controlling your stress. For someone who's high stress, high anxiety, your brain is going to continue to deteriorate as you age. So you have to make sure you're controlling as much as you can as far as stress inputs into the brain. One of the things I suggest everyone do at least 2 to 3 times a week is very, very, very high intensity cardio that maximizes lactate. Lactate is an extremely potent BDNF precursor. So if you increase lactate in the brain, you get more BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which grows your brain. Miracle grow for the brain. You know, you could also put that, you could also, I sort of mentioned lion's mane, but lion's mane is known for brain growth. However, there's a potential side effect of lion's mane, which is why I stopped using it years ago. I used a lot of it for a long time. And I think I saw this side effect, which is why I stopped. It actually kills your sex drive. So you got to be a little careful with you got to be a little careful with how much lion's mane you use. So I was using 3 grams multiple times a day. If I would stick to about 1 gram if I was to do it. Do I recommend not listening to music or YouTube when doing fitness? Man, it depends, Rudolph. I would say it depends on your goals. So if your primary goal is to maximize the effectiveness of your workout, then the only thing you should be doing is focusing on your workout. If you're trying to hold your attention in two places, you're failing at both. So at your age, if you're like, hey man, I want to be big, I want to be lean, I want to be jacked, I want to train really hard. And man, I think I honestly believe everyone should think like that, no matter what your age. But I think yes, you would definitely want to at least music. I'm not against because music's actually I'll talk about it in a sec. But I would definitely not do like podcasts or YouTube videos. Like, don't do that. But here's the thing with music. Now, music also drives dopamine. So that's a really good thing and a really bad thing. Here's why. If you use music all the time to drive motivation and dopamine, and you don't have it, then your dopamine crashes. So you have to be very careful with how you administer dopamine. So dopamine comes from all things I was talking about. Comes from sugar, comes from drugs, comes from alcohol, comes from sex, comes from porn, comes from social media. Probably a bunch of other stuff. If you do it too much, your brain becomes desensitized to it. So just like the amino acid L-tyrosine drives huge amounts of dopamine, so too does music. If you did a gram of L-tyrosine in your most intense favorite music, your likelihood of having an amazing workout is way increased today. So use that as a tool. I historically would have done tyrosine and music on heavy leg days and maybe on back days. And the other days there's no music, there's no tyrosine. So like learning these tools and how to use them is really important to curating your best mental state. Now here's what I'll tell you. I've tried up to 5 grams of L-tyrosine before a workout, and it was probably the best workout of my life. But when I was done, certainly one of the best workouts of my life. But when I was done, I was in like almost panic anxiety. Like I don't get anxiety. I was in almost panic-stricken anxiety because it drives so much adrenaline, excuse me, it drives so much dopamine, and dopamine, when driven to an excess, drives adrenaline. So I was like, borderline panic. I probably could have kept training for 3 hours, but then I had to like get myself out of there because I was like literally like freaking out. Great workout, don't recommend it. So I wouldn't recommend more than like 1,000, especially at your body weight, 1,000 milligrams. That's all you need. Keep in mind, I was 320 pounds when I was doing 5 grams, right? And so if you read the research has up to 10 grams. Charles Poliquin used to recommend absurd dosages of tyrosine and caffeine. I'm like, I think I would die. He used to recommend for me like 1,200 milligrams of caffeine before a workout and 3 to 5 grams of L-tyrosine. If I took that now, I think my heart would explode. It'd be like over there. I have to go scrape my heart off the floor. So do not recommend. All right, I'm going to pause. I'm talking a lot. What do you guys have to say? What questions you got? I know that's a lot of words and it probably sounds like word salad to you guys. So you guys can reverse me up and like, hey, play that back for me one more time.
I got a question. I got a question there, Ben.
Fire away.
So, what's the best way to find out what item you might be deficient in? Is it testing? Is it trial and error?
Yeah, testing is going to be your best bet. So you can do trial and error. So it's actually not as complicated as it sounds. So if you take B vitamins and you like you have improved energy. So if I take B vitamins before bed, I can go to sleep. If I was deficient in B vitamins and I took B vitamins generally, and it gives me more energy, it means I'm deficient. Same thing with magnesium. Like if you're taking magnesium and it affects you energy wise, then you're probably deficient. Most people are just deficient in magnesium anyways. So I would just yeah, you can definitely test. You can do something called the organic acid test. We do that here with Greg. Like you can definitely do a test. You can do a neurotransmitter test, which is a little bit more nuanced to see like what's happening in your brain. But an organic acid test would be a good place to start, just a urine analysis. Or just by throwing in the occasional micronutrient and see what happens. Like, do you feel, oh gosh, I feel so much more focused. Well, great. And then use it. And if you don't feel any difference, then don't use it. So like each individual B vitamins, like B1, B2, B5, B6, B12, all of those can individually impact you because there's both genetic influences and dietary influences. So some people are deficient in B vitamins genetically, meaning your body doesn't synthesize and process these well. So we literally test each one individually. So like I'm severely deficient in B1 and B2. So if I don't take thiamine and riboflavin, which is B1 and B2, I feel it. My brain feels sort of sluggish. I feel sort of stupid. I don't have good verbal recall. That's genetic. And I see this in my genes. And I can look at my genes and go, oh, I have this. And if I just take them, I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was an idiot my whole life, and really I was just deficient in B1 and B2. And so some people are deficient in B12, some people are allergic to B6. You just got to learn which ones you're deficient in, and you can just test it.
So on that, so I did testing initially with Greg a year ago. B12, I had to take some vitamin D and a couple other things, and I've been taking them, and I've dropped 70 pounds, and I'm a lot healthier than I was then. So I'm probably due for some more testing. So do you recommend not taking any supplements and just kind of get into a more natural state in your body, then testing and see if you still need them, or if you needed them
No,
before, just.
just take 3 days off.
Okay.
Just no vitamins for 3 days, 72 hours, 72 hours. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 57.
So at 57, if you lost 70 pounds, two things are happening in your body. One, your mitochondria are probably very tired or sick. Two, your the molecule NAD, NADH is probably deficient. So if you're not opposed to peptides, I would go in the direction of taking two really specific peptides, SS31 and 5-amino-1-MQ. I can type in the chat. So in
Okay.
fact, I would give you three peptides if you're not against it. I would do MOTC, SS31, and 5-amino-1-MQ. And so I can tell you what each of them does. 5-amino-1-MQ is really unbelievably useful for specifically people who have lost a lot of weight and they're low NADH. So when you lose a lot of weight, you lose molecules that are important in the NADH cycle, conversion cycle. And then SS31 sort of acts, it acts on this molecule called cardiolipin, which really helps to regenerate the mitochondria. Mitochondria, as we age, as we put damage like too much food, bad food through the system, toxins, oxidative stress, this cardiolipin molecule sort of becomes incapacitated. And by using SS31, rebuild the mitochondria, sort of detoxify and build the mitochondria. And then MOTC pushes the mitochondria to work faster and harder. So those three in combination, if you, again, not medical advice, but I would do your own research and like look at those three as potentially really useful to rebuild your mitochondria. So anyone who loses any amount of weight, you're gonna have mitochondrial issues. So I would look at those here. I'll type them in the chat for you. You can look at them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have had a lot of good positive benefits. I work with Coach Chris, and one of the things I noticed is the insulin resistance, I guess, changed. My hair color changed. I used to have gray hair, and now it's back to my natural color. So
That's
that was
amazing.
pretty eye-opening. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep. So that has to do with oxidative stress. So what basically what's happened is you've dropped your oxidative stress significantly. So that could be a dietary thing, that could be a mitochondrial thing. But yeah, if you have too much oxidative stress, your body can't deal with it. It speeds up the rate of graying.
And I use an Oura ring, so is that a pretty good measurement of the body stress? Because it does manage the stress.
Yes and no. So it stress is multifactorial. So stress is like Oura is basically measuring your nervous system, which is important because the nervous system stress is sort of a proxy for stress. But you could also have stress at the level of the cell, which is the mitochondria, sort of like, the cell could be falling apart because it's inflamed. The mitochondria could be dysfunctional because it's not driving energy effectively. So you can have multiple effects of stress. So like if your HRV is good, that's great, but like there could also be cellular stuff that's happening, which is dietary driven, toxin driven, environmental toxin driven, light is driving inflammation in the body. So there's a lot of stuff that drives these negative cascades in the body that you sort of, unfortunately, I mean, it's interesting because I say unfortunately because you sort of got to live a life of ancestral nature, meaning like you got to be outside, you got to eat whole foods, you got to make sure you're moving, you got to sleep really well, you got to make sure you're getting good light exposure, like all the stuff that your ancestors would have done naturally. Yeah, we get away from because we love these creature comforts of like, oh, I love my blue light and my TV and my shitty foods and I love eating Doritos, and you're like, well, all that is driving breakdown of your body. So we have to avoid those things as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a challenge. But yes, a challenge worthy of the benefits.
And everything's a challenge. And so my encouragement to you is like, what does it look like to shift first your perspective and second your identity, right? So perspective shift means like, hey man, this is just what I do. You're like, I'm just gonna shift because like for me, it's like what an amazing gift you have to like the gift of perspective, I think, is one of the most beautiful gifts in the world. If you just go, I get to love my body, I get to seek ancestral living. I get to eat great foods. I get to like stop with these terrible technological influences that are killing my body, killing my brain. So like finding some way to flip your brain. I'll give you an example. I was walking around this morning and up after my and I was like, "What do you mean you're grateful to get to clean up your kids? Like most of your parents are bitching at their kids." It's like, "No, man, she's here." I'm like, she's with me and she's alive, and I love her so much. And I'm like, I'm picking up her dirty socks from the floor, and I've got a massive smile on my face. I'm like, I'm so fucking grateful that I get to clean up after my daughter. I'm so grateful that I get to make her breakfast every day. I'm so grateful that I get to say goodnight to her. I'm so grateful that I even get to like love her. Like even when she's in a mood, you know, I'm like, I'm just, man. So that perspective shift that is available to all of us at all times. You're like, yeah, man, I want what I want to do. I was thinking about this the other day. What do people do on their birthday? They go and they drink and they eat sugar and they eat cake. I'm like, what better way to celebrate your birthday than poisoning yourself? Sounds like a fucking brilliant idea. Sugar and alcohol. You're like, it's silly, right? You're like, well, that sounds like a really good, let's all celebrate or poison ourselves. Interesting. It's definitely a different perspective. And but I encourage you to sort of welcome yourself to look at a perspective shift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Rudolph, man, I do prefer the Oura Ring. Whoop tends to be relatively inaccurate, especially for sleep. It can be useful during training and HRV and stuff like that, but Oura Ring tends to be a lot more effective for sleep.
I have one more question too.
Fire away.
So, you know how you were talking about the Whole Foods? I
Yeah.
can't find that in my city. Like, they don't have any of that. Where do you
Where
recommend
do you
it?
live?
In California, in San
What's
Jose.
man, you live in the best place in the world for that. Go find a go seriously, go type in farmers markets around me.
Okay.
Yeah, type in farmers markets. And so every Saturday, this is not an exaggeration, every Saturday I go to the farmers market. I spend about 45 minutes there and I buy all my groceries for the week. I buy wild meat, I buy farm fresh eggs, I buy organic vegetables, I buy bone broth. Everything I need comes from the farmer's market. I literally don't do anything else. Occasionally, I'll get some stuff from the grocery store that I need here and there, but generally, it's like 80%, 90% of my stuff comes to the farmer's market. It literally takes me 1 hour a week. But I go to the farmer's market. And that's a good way to do it, man. And like, you can find Whole Foods, man. And it's not from the Whole Foods store. It's like any type of organic grocery store will get you really high quality foods.
Okay, bet. All right, thank you, man.
Yeah, man, no problem. I could literally find you sources of food in San Jose because you know the Mind Pump guys? They're up there, man. They're buddies of mine. I'm sure they all eat like me.
What's it called?
You know Mind Pump, the podcast?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm so
Check it
sure.
out. Yeah, they live in San Jose.
Okay.
They're sort of like my age and smart guys when it comes to training. They're old buddies from a long time ago.
All right, I just found it.
Sweet. Yeah, and yeah, they live there in San Jose, so like we'll have sources of stuff.
Ben.
Hey, man.
Hey Ben, I was going to ask on the SS31. I've been playing around with that a little bit. I've taken it. I actually felt great. I was taking the amino 1MQ. Didn't feel as good on that, but MOTC and SS31 I feel really good on. It's like a good like sustained level of energy. Love it. I've seen like playing with ChatGPT and just other things that I've seen you recommended we take it at night, and then ChatGPT always recommends taking it in the day for energy.
I don't think it
I've
makes a
taken
difference, man. It's not going to give you
really?
energy. It's not going to give you energy. So
Okay.
SS31 won't give you energy. It's more, I would think of it more of like re mitochondrial regeneration. It balances oxidative stress. It re improves cardiolipin. So it's more going to like reduce the damage. That's an oversimplification, but that's the best sort of category to put in your mind. So when you train hard, when you eat food, when you do anything that's toxic in your body, your mitochondria are going to be destroyed, right? They're being broken down constantly. SS31 helps to replenish cardiolipin in the mitochondria. So here's the thing with SS31, and I've read a lot of the research now. It looks like higher dose over long durations of time is almost required to see significant differences. You'll notice small differences, but like if someone, for example, is diabetic or pre-diabetic or like has been obese, then we're looking at relatively high doses over relatively long periods of time, like 10 milligrams a day for 1 to 3 months, which is cost prohibitive. So I'm trying to find a source. I actually have a meeting tomorrow for this, and I'm trying to buy a few thousand bottles of this stuff. I figure if I buy thousands of bottles, and again, I don't want to be a provider, but like I want to be able to do a research study amongst our community on SS31, where everyone can get like 100 bottles at a really cheap cost. And run 100 bottles, like a bottle a day for 100 days, 10 milligram bottles, And I'd love to see what that does, because I really think, I think that might be the most important peptide that we've discovered yet. And now it's now being pulled off the market, right? Which is why I want to buy 1,000 bottles, because it's being pulled because it's a pharmaceutical. So they're going to charge you a buttload for it, and it's going to be hard to get. Most people would argue that GHK is the most popular, most important peptide ever. I think it might be SS31. GHK, if you look at the meta-analysis on GHK, it's mind-blowing what GHK does. Everyone should be taking GHK, everyone. At least get it topically if you don't want to take injectables.
Okay, GH. I'm not sure what that is. That the GHKCU like skin? Oh, okay.
You can take an injectable, but I know it's not everyone wants to take injectables. But topically, it's not as effective, but also effective. And it's just remarkable, man. Just unbelievable.
What would you recommend for a dosage on GHKCU? I mean, is that
Yeah, 2 milligrams a day is enough. You don't need a lot. Small
okay.
dose, 1 to 2 milligrams a day, if you're going to take it consistently. But most of the top experts will just take it every day for the rest of your life. If you can afford it, GHK is one of those, like, take low dose every day for the rest of your life. The only downside, or the only potential downside, is you could accumulate too much copper, which pulls out iron. So, like, very unlikely, almost impossible in a man, but possible in a woman. So I would just be aware of that.
Okay. And the last question I was going to ask, the cerebrolysin and Dihexa, with some of that, is there a website you'd recommend? I've been going to typically Peptide Sciences where I get it. I don't think they have those two. Is there another website you recommend that has quality peptides that you're not buying questionable ingredients?
Let me find it for you. If it's not on Peptide Sciences, I'll have to find another one. So there's been some speculation that a lot of these injectables are going to get pulled off. Apparently the FDA is cracking down. We'll see. We'll always be able to find a decent source. And I test everything. Like, if I get anything, I'm going to send it to it. There's three different tests you got to do to have these things, like, actually verified. Well, if we find something, we'll get it tested and see what we can do.
Okay.
Any other questions, gents? So I know that was like a verbal diarrhea of brain supplements, but hopefully it was helpful.
That was great.
Mike, what you got? You look like you're gonna unmute yourself. No.
I just what you were saying earlier when you started talking about the vitamin B deficiency and how it can relate to the verbal recall at time. I was just curious if that would be in your genetic report at all, if there's something you could look into and
Did
see.
you run your genes already?
I have, yeah.
With us?
I have, yeah.
Give me a second.
I didn't know if the MTHFR was that something that would contribute to, or is that.
Man, the human body is a complex system. It all contributes to everything.
Yeah.
It's all how they dance together, man. Like,
When Greg went over the initial call and he was speaking on how everything kind of works together. It was pretty amazing to
yeah,
hear how it
Greg's.
all works.
Man, Greg is an amazing man and a genius. I'm very blessed to have Greg on our team. See what you got here. Interesting. Mike, I'm sure he told you have the FTO, which is the very high risk for obesity. That basically just means you eat too much. Do you tend to
Yeah.
have you tend to overeat?
It's funny, when I first got on the call, he said, I looked at your genes before I got on the call, and he figured I was going to get on with someone that was either obese or, has lost a lot of weight. But I tend to kind of want to overeat, but I've got a good system. I seem like I can kind of manage it pretty well. So
Yeah, that's
you're
good
either
man.
white knuckling it or your lifestyle is doing you benefits.
Yeah, and I really believe that a lot of this can get expressed in childhood or not expressed. So if you're someone who in childhood experienced a traumatic environment in any way, exposed to trauma, then you're going to start looking for some means of getting yourself out of trauma, which is out of anxiety, stress, fear, and overwhelm. And food is the solution. So it becomes a habit. Just because you got the gene, if you grew up in a relatively safe household, you're probably good.
No.
And bone mineral density, I'm sure he brought that up for you, but I would make sure you pay attention to that. Make sure you're getting, you also do weight training, but like heavy weight training, getting enough calcium, get enough, make sure you're not too acidic. Lactose intolerance, MTHFR, as you said, CRP, interleukin-6. So you've got pretty poor inflammatory genes. Make sure you're taking your vitamin D, omegas, curcumin probably every day.
Yeah, I do take that. And I think there was something in there, but I don't know if it was the B vitamin, but I had blood labs done and I sent them back to him. He looked at it and he was kind of having a nitpick and he said everything that you're taking, your B vitamin, methylated B vitamin stuff, seems to be working in conjunction and keeping things where it should be. So.
Yeah, I'm still walking through some stuff here. Let me see. So we're specifically speaking about brain health, yeah?
Correct, yeah.
So you've got a little deficiency in BDNF, which basically means as you age, you're gonna need to be intentional about learning. You're gonna need to be intentional about not allowing your brain to deteriorate. So like intentionally doing things that are complex, intentionally doing things that require learning, like learn a new language, learn a new instrument, like consistently. So it's not a top level priority for you, but it is on there.
Yeah.
So that just basically means your brain's gonna diminish its ability to learn faster, but you can keep it up by learning. Like BDNF never goes away, you just got to keep it up.
That's good to know.
Yeah, man, I don't think it would be. Yeah, so it's probably COMT, it's probably APOE. Yeah, it's probably that. That would be. So basically, what that means is your brain is bathing in adrenaline. So we need to give your body the cofactors it needs to break down adrenaline, which is basically vitamin B6, maybe some thiamine, which is B1. Like just taking, make sure you're getting up B6 in your diet would be important. That's nothing else there that's super, notable there, man. Make sure if you're living in constant state of high stress, you're not sleeping really well. I would do like a B vitamin test. Make sure you're getting enough methylated B vitamins for sure. But creatine, as long as you're taking creatine is also a great methylator, right?
Yeah, I take that regularly, so it's awesome. Thanks for looking at that.
Yeah, dude. Happy to do it. Any other questions, gents?
So I got a question. You mentioned the learning. What are some things that we could start learning? Like,
Man, whatever lights you up, brother. Like, for example, I'm learning about macroeconomics. Like, everyone's like, why do you learn about macroeconomics? Because I'm like, I think macroeconomics is like driving the financial world. So if I want to understand how to be financially wealthy and create a legacy, I need to understand macroeconomics. So I'll read books on macroeconomics. Like you guys are probably bored of your mind, but I'm like, I love this shit. So like it depends whatever you would do without having to be reminded to do it. So if it's a language, if it's an instrument, if it's a doesn't matter, man. It really doesn't matter. Like, when I was competing as a bodybuilder, I learned marketing. I studied marketing like relentlessly, marketing and sales. And I left bodybuilding and I started studying psychology and human behavior. And then now I've studied, in the last couple of years, I studied genetics and like find stuff that lets you up. Here's the thing, man. There's so many things to study that it's too much. It's a distraction. My encouragement to you is pick one or two things for 3 months and go, I'm going to learn everything I possibly can about this. Because what happens is we go an inch deep and a mile wide and we never really learn anything. So we get these like 7 second snippets of all this bullshit information. You never learn anything valuable. You got to go deep. So like give yourself 1 to 3 months and go, I'm gonna learn everything I possibly can about Spanish. I'm gonna learn everything I possibly can about the guitar. I'm gonna learn my next thing, I guarantee my next thing is gonna be playing the piano. Like at some point in my life I'm gonna play the piano. I watched Elton John in concert. He was 74 years old and I've never been so inspired in my life. The guy was unbelievable. I was like, I need to learn this. So like whatever touches you, man, whatever feels inspiring to you, could be literally anything.
okay.
Yeah,
I
could be video
bet.
games.
Video games.
Well, hey, man, whatever. Like it's still doing the same thing,
Yeah.
but don't allow that to be the only thing, right? Do it for a fixed period of time and then go on to something else. Yeah, and be careful if you're doing video games. Be careful about getting sucked into the. Like, oh, I got to play 6 hours a day of video games, right? Because like it's really different reading a book for 6 hours a day than playing video games for 6 hours. And so the way I approach learning is I'll try to listen to something, watch something, and read something. So I'm engaging all three different systems, my visual system, my auditory system, and sort of my tactile system. So I'm going to learn with all different behavior types. I'll even then try to do stuff, right? So like you want to engage all different learning systems. What else you got, boys? Anything else I can support you with today?
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you joining me on Wednesday night. If we did provide value for you, I appreciate you guys, and hopefully see you here again next week. Have a great evening, guys.
Thanks,
Talk
Brett.
soon.
Thanks, everybody.